Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and afternoon, Phillies fans. It is Phillies Today on Wednesday, August 8th. This very surprising 2018 season, and a day after the Phillies' 5-2 victory out there in Arizona. Hello, I'm Mike Angelina, filling in for James Seltzer once again, and I'll be here the next few mornings, afternoons, depending on when you listen to this. And yeah, another great Phillies win to talk about. 5-2 over Arizona, behind Nick Pivetta, and a big eighth inning. And the Phillies again bounce back after another tough loss Monday. They've had a, you know, this seems like this season they've had a lot more heartbreaking losses for a first place team than a lot of the good Phillies teams we've seen in the last couple decades, I'd say. And you know, later on the show, we'll spend some time going through the examples of it and how they bounce back. But you know, I won't hide this. I'll get right to this stat. Tough losses, this is kind of arbitrary by me, but just go with it. These are games I identified where they just bad losses, you know, whether it be ninth inning meltdowns or eighth, you know, maybe eighth innings or whatever. Usually it's games they blow that they shouldn't. You kind of, as the game progresses, you feel like they have it, and then boom, it just kind of ends in a loss. They bounce back after those. Seven out of eight times the following game, they just get out of their systems and win immediately. And we'll touch on those examples later, but right now let's get right into Tuesday's game. Yesterday, Nick Pivetta, tremendous start, great outing. It looked like he had the curveball working, getting ahead in counts. Not nibbling as we've seen him do a few times this season, but it seems like Arizona really struggled to square up his curveball. Not a lot of hard contact. Six innings, five hits, no runs, six strikeouts. And, you know, still not the best ERA, but it lowered his ERA down to 4.51. And then the bullpen, they had some trouble in the eighth with Aaron Loop not having much command. But, you know, aside from that, Luis Garcia, Victor Arano, and Pat Neshek all doing their jobs, getting the job done. Another great job from Victor Arano, who seems to just keep surprising Gabe Kapler and probably other fans out there with his ability to just pitch in back-to-back games, pitch in high-leverage situations. Kapler said Friday's got great stones on him. And, you know, the game could have gotten in trouble in his inning. We'll get to that, but he really shut the door. But the Phillies in the top half of the eighth inning, so the Phillies are leading 1-0 for most of this game after Nick Williams' solo home run. And then, of course, it seems like what kind of led to the floodgates opening on Jake Diekman, Cesar Hernandez with the not seen too often Little League home run. It's debatable whether, you know, it's debatable whether it would have safely beaten out if not for a terrible throw from Jake Diekman on a bunt. The TV crew seemed to be of the belief that he would have. I'm not, you know, they called it a double error. First error on Diekman, and then the right fielder, Steven Souza, just absolutely one of the worst throws you'll see from right field. Throws it right into the third base stands. I was okay with the ruling, the official scoring. But then from there, you could just kind of sense this was, you know, as the Phillies have seen on from their side of the dugout, bad Jake Diekman. And he gives up four runs total. The big blow, what made it 4-0, and really these proved to be game-winning RBIs was Drubal Cabrera, Matt Klentak's biggest pickup at the trade deadline. A two-run double could have been three, maybe if they're, you know, a little less cautious on the bases, running with no outs. bases loaded, line drive, 0-2 pitch too that Diekman hung up there, and Cabrera batting from the right side of the plate for the first time, and a couple ABs turned on it, and high fastball shot it right off the wall. In the air, looked like it had a chance it could have gone out. For the first, 19 years of Chase Field, it probably would have gone out. This is the first year, of course, with the humidor. And, containing fly balls a little bit more. But, nonetheless, enough for the Phillies to get a win out of it. It proved to be the game-winning hit. Jorge Alfaro, right after him, RBI hit to left field, left center field. David Peralta made a good play on it, too. Hold it just one run, and, Phillies had a 5-0 lead. And then Aaron Loop, he's struggled since he's come here. He's faced four hitters. He's gotten only one of them out. And then, as mentioned earlier, Victor Arano, a timely double play to stop the bleeding, to keep the game at 5-2 when the Diamondbacks were threatening for more. And really bailed out Mikel Franco on a ball he kind of booted. A ground ball to him that he ended up getting to left field. And it was Drubal Cabrera. Odubel Herrera. Still getting used to having Asdrubal and Odubel on the same team. But Odubel Herrera in center field, a ball that kind of weird wall in center field seemed to kind of trick him on. And the ball actually cleared the wall on the in-play side and didn't actually hit it at all. Landed right on the warning track, and that how Arizona got their first run on a Paul Goldschmidt double. Which, very catchable ball. Should have been a catch, but that's okay. Arano bailed two of his teammates out there. Timely double play, and Arano, a guy I've liked since the first time I saw him last year. I don't know what it is about him. Something about his. I don't know. When I watch him pitch, he reminds me of Troy Percival from a windup or a delivery standpoint. And, results have been there for him, at the end of the last season and this season. He's now got a 2.06 ERA. Friday night, he got some big, big outs when Velasquez left the jam. He came in relief, put the fire out. And Gabe Kapler said after the game that Arano has some stones on him. And that he sure seems to have the way he put fires out. And then Pat Neshek, wouldn't you know, Pat Neshek was down to work today. And five pitches, five strikes, a 1-2-3 inning, 1-2-3 ninth for his second save of the season. Another scoreless out. Neshek has only one outing this year. He's allowed a run and is kind of on a little bloop single. Friday night against Miami, that now makes 13 out of 14 scoreless outings for the Shaq. Five pitches, though, for him, so don't expect to see him Wednesday. He'll take 2 days off, I would imagine, and come back Friday, well-rested from those five pitches. As a matter of fact, he's a member of Jim Jackson's pregame show, Phillies on Deck, and said he and Kapler had a chat, and he's just not down to pitch back-to-back games. I guess even if that includes if throwing five pitchers or less. So, good to see the Shaq doing his job. And then from the offensive side, the Phillies, it looked like first two innings, really, they kind of had a couple chances to blow the game. Maybe not blow the game open, but have big innings. Off of Zach Greinke, he came in with I think the lowest walk rate in the National League, and when you know it, he walked four, and much of them early in the game, and it looked like the Phillies were doing their typical thing of grinding at bats, getting working a high pitch count on the opposing pitcher, getting the bullpen early. They did not get in the bullpen early. Greinke went seven innings, only yielding three hits. The one run on the Williams homer, so just two other hits. But then once the Phillies did get in the bullpen with Jake Diekman, Jake Diekman's first career outing against the Phillies, first appearance, of course, out of the bullpen against them, did not go well. Obviously, he only got the one out. while allowing four runners to score, four hitters to score, I should say. And, you know, Philly's just another good, strong, resilient win. I would say the biggest takeaway from the game is Nick Pivetta getting seems like he's kind of evened out and gotten back on track after a couple of rough outings. I thought he was pretty good Thursday against the Marlins. He hung in there when the circumstances weren't too great. With he had to sit down for maybe an hour or so with the rain delay. And then, of course, tonight, six shutout innings, can't argue with that. To start before Cincinnati, he struck out 12 but allowed 5. And then, again, there was that bad start against San Diego. So, you know, he kind of had a weird, I don't know how many weeks, maybe 6 weeks. The game against Washington where they just, where it was a home run, their own home run derby off him. And, we've seen his ERA fluctuate from, it was 3.26 going into June, and then he left July with it, almost at 5.485. I think we're going to see more starts from Pivetta kind of closer to the last two than we had seen in the month of June and July. The other thing with Pivetta tonight that was big, especially in a big ballpark like Arizona, more ground ball outs than fly ball. You got 8 ground outs, 7 fly outs. And I would say the flyouts, the ones he was getting, they're weak contact. Not many, well struck balls or line outs. I think it's because he kept hitters off balance with that curveball. You didn't see many of them time it up well and really hit it on the screws. And it seems like Alfaro called a good game to keep hitters off balance with between the fastball and the off speed stuff. So, very encouraging start from Nick Pivetta. I know there's been there's talk on Twitter and the show I produce, Big Daddy Graham, that some people wanted Hamels over Pivetta in the rotation. Obviously surrendering assets to get Hamels. And Hamels started his Cubs career 2-0, although I got the win Monday, but got a bunch of hits to the Kansas City Royals, only struck out 2. That was a game more of just the Cubs winning it than it felt like Hamels just, dazzling or doing anything special. But, I think that's going to be something Phillies fans keep an eye on the rest of the season, tracking Hamels starts versus Pivetta starts or, maybe Eflin. I think everyone's in agreement that Nola, Arrieta, and Vince Velasquez are clearly the three best starters. So you would figure Hamels would have taken if they had acquired him. It would have been Pivetta or Eflin, most likely Pivetta's spot that he took. So, the Phillies can't really, at this point in time, can't really say they have much regret with sticking with Nick Pivetta. And then, their big trade deadline move is Ruel Cabrera. That's now two of the last three games he's provided the game-winning hit. Sunday, one of the longest home runs I've ever seen hit somebody hit, that blasted in the second deck. And then also, we should also mention Saturday's game. He hits his first home run as a Philly, and then he almost hits the second one. So it's been a good four games out of Asdrubal Cabrera. Saw the stat from Corey Seidman, former host of this podcast and this HD show, that Asdrubal Cabrera in the last four games is more RBI. He's, I believe, 5, than Manny Machado has in his entire Dodgers run or tenure, whatever you can call it. Machado's been there for 18 games now. And even with those extra 14 games, Cabrera has more RBI these past four than Machado does, which is pretty remarkable. Pretty good stuff out of Matt Klentak, it seems like. Only surrendering Franklin Killamay. And if you're wondering how Killamay is doing, he's made 2 starts for the Binghamton affiliate for the Mets. That's a Double-A team in the Eastern League, same league as the Reading Fightin' Phils. First one was okay, 7 runs, 3 earned. Took a loss though, hard luck loser. And then not so good start on the fourth, which is Saturday. 4 2/3 innings, one run. I don't think anyone's gonna miss Franklin Killamay. You know, even if he does reach the majors, if he does, I think the Phillies, probably accurately so, just viewed him as a, you know, number five option, maybe four at best. Just an organizational depth guy that, to their credit, they cashed in on for a rental. So the Phillies now, with the Diamondbacks, they'll have the rubber game today, Wednesday at 3:40, shortly after you hear this show. And it'll be Vince Velasquez going to the mound against Patrick Corbin. Corbin's been one of the better pitchers in the National League this year. Maybe even a surprise. Guy that's kind of struggled after having arm surgery to get his career back on track. But this year he finally has. Pitching a 3.31 ERA, staying healthy. He's gone to his post each time through the rotation 23 times. And then Vince Velasquez, speaking of guys going to the post each time, with the exception of the time he had to miss a start because he had a screaming line drive scorched off his elbow, he's been absolutely tremendous since he's returned from that game. He missed the 10 days between June 30th and, or I guess between July 1st and July 10th, returning on July 11th. He's pitched 25 1/3 innings since then, over four starts, five appearances, because that extra inning game. He's allowed only two runs, both in Cincinnati in that downer of a series. But 3-0 undefeated in those, decision-wise, personally. And just looks, he finally looks like the Vince Velasquez I've expected. I don't know how many others. You know, I know a lot of people want him in the bullpen, but hats off to the Phillies for sticking in their guns and realizing that they had a true arm in this guy, in Vinny V. I was at that game when that happened, when the line drive off his elbow. I think Adam Eaton hit it. It instantly reminded me of Mark Pryor when he shattered his elbow, and that was kind of one of the defining moments of his career because of the injuries. I thought it could have been that bad. Obviously, it wasn't. He missed only 10 days, and if the Phillies had a 6-day deal, maybe he would have only missed six. You know, I think that he missed the 10 because he had to miss to go on the deal. He had to. But you know, I think the Phillies, they now, every time Velasquez goes to the mound, they expect to win. And Sears on the line today, that's a good feeling to have. So be good to get out of Arizona with the win, and in doing so, they would move a season high 16 games, over 500. We're going to take a break here on Phillies Today, and then when we come back, I talked about how we'll talk about the resiliency of the Phillies. We'll do that on the other side. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for segment two. We're back on Phillies Today, the Phillies HD Radio Network. Mike Angelina here with you, obviously filling in for James Seltzer. And I want to talk about the resiliency of the Phillies and how they've bounced back from bad losses. Looking through the schedule, I'm sure all of these stand out if you're a diehard Phillies fan watching every game, which you figure you are if you're listening to this podcast. I can identify 8 bad losses they've had this season. What's a bad loss? Well, it's subjective and it's arbitrary, but it's a game that you, when you're watching it, you feel like the Phillies are in control of, should win. At some point in the game, you figure and expect them to win, but then, circumstances change and the bullpen usually is the reason why. And the game just gets, blown and lost, and it's a missed opportunity. So, run through those 8 real quick. And as I mentioned in the first segment, they followed 7 of these up with a win. We'll go through them real quickly. Opening day, obviously the Hobie Milner game. Kapler tries to pull Aaron Nola out of the game early. Figures with a 5-0 lead, he can sneak in some rest for Nola. Wasn't too stretched out in spring training and wanted to save bullets on for the season. It backfired on him. Hector Neris eventually leading or allowing the walk-off home run to Markakis. But, you know, the Phillies, what happens the next day? They come back and they win a resilient 11-inning game. They got their first win of the season, first win of Gabe Kapler's career. So, you know, it's fine up with the win the first time. Let's fast forward to May. That first Sunday of May, that was, of course, the game with Max Scherzer. Absolute dealing, strikes out 15. Phillies and Phillies end up taking a lead in that one. 4-1 at one point. And then you're kind of thinking, like, wow, this is going to be great. We're going to, you know, Philly's going to get out of here with a win despite Scherzer just absolutely dominating for much of the game and wasting that effort. A 4-1 lead quickly becomes 4-3 when Tommy Hunter is ineffective. He's still coming back from his hamstring injury. And then Hector Neris blows in the ninth, giving up two runs without recording a single out. What happens in the next game? The Phillies, this is more than bouncing back. They win 11-0, put up a couple of first-inning runs, and just kind of cruise from there over the Giants. The next one, the Memorial Day game. If you remember this one, Vinny Velasquez with the no-hitter going in L.A. They're up 4-0, and then after Velasquez leaves the game, they have that awful, awful, awful eighth inning. A couple of relievers, just absolutely, notably Adam Morgan, just unable to get any to kill the Dodgers rally. And then another side thing is after the lead was blown, Rhys Hoskins breaks his jaw. So, you know, you lose your best hitter. And then what happens next game? Jake Arrieta comes out with a pretty dominant 6-1 win over the Dodgers in L.A. And then later, this is actually the first time that they don't bounce back and they follow it with a loss. That Adam Morgan game where he allows a grand slam of Jason Hayward. This, of course, was immediately after Dylan Cousins surprised everyone with a home run off Brandon Morrow. And, you know, you're thinking, like, wow, you know, the Phillies going to steal a game on this. That one they actually follow with a 4-3 loss on getaway day. But, you know, to say that's been few and far between, it's only happened one other time. So, you know, it's even less than that. But, you know, there's a few. Let's talk about some more of the wins they've had after this. The Cardinals game where this game, actually, the probably number one thing that you take from it is when Crawford breaks his hand. But there's also the Phillies had a lead in this game. Tommy Hunter lets it slip away. Hoskins roars back in the eighth inning to get them back in it and tie it. And then Matt Carpenter homers off Sir Anthony Dominguez, deflating loss. The next day, Arrieta wins, and the Phillies come out of that Cardinals series with the win. There is a couple weeks later, this was after the All-Star break, the Dodgers game. Phillies come roaring back to tie it on a Hoskins homer. Odubel gives them a lead. And I guess this is the theme here. Tommy Hunter falters and blows a save. Not a ninth inning save, but a save nonetheless. And this was really resilient. They're down 4-1 and come back and tie the Dodgers to eventually win in 16. That leads to a series win. The Red Sox game, a couple weeks later, just a week ago, Odubel Herrera misreads a line drive, lets it go over his head, and then to tie the game in the eighth, they waste a null outing and eventually lose on a Blake Swihart walk-off in the 13th. Again, Arrieta, and Arrieta has been big in this department, these bounce-back games. He bounces back and lets him leave Boston with a split. And, of course, last night, although Arrieta was, by no fault of his own, was the starter in the bad loss, 8 shutout innings from him. And then, you know, as we talked about in the first segment, the way the Phillies bounce back. So, you know, there's just seven wins in bounce-back situations, I'd call them. Again, just there's no stat on this. There's no, you know, play index thing you plug in of, well, when the Phillies are up by this and they have this lead in the X amount of innings, they blow it. No, it's just, you know, just as a fan, just these are just games that you identify as, you know, just sitting there disappointed after a loss. It's different from, you know, a game you lose 5-1 because, you know, your starters didn't have it. These were just losses that you felt were wins at some point during it. And I think to a smaller degree, there's also moments throughout the season I've noticed where they don't let things affect them too much. maybe, and this could be one of the highlights of the season because it really was a testament to this. Right after they had a terrible loss, 17-7, where Nick Pivetta really struggled. I'm trying to think how many innings he went in that game. It was against DC. I think he was lifted in the second inning. He allowed three home runs and seven total before being lifted. And then the next night, you're thinking you really want Velasquez to go deep. Then in the second inning, he takes that liner off his elbow, and they come back and win that game. Bullpen was tremendous. In the following game, they also win with a short bullpen, and they asked the bullpen to get them 15 innings over 2 days. And that's not, I guess it's really, you could say 22 innings over three games, but the two wins, they get 15 innings out of them, and they win that national series. There's the incident with the ball girl. I guess it's not fan interference because she's an employee, but whatever. Ball girl interference in extra innings against the Dodgers, but Pat Neshek really bears down and gets out of that jam. And then the first inning from the All-Star break. If you remember, they finished the first half losing the Marlins 10-5, allowing 10 unanswered runs, and then they come out with just rusty, awful defense the first inning of post-All-Star break, and Arrieta kind of gets in some trouble there. So after they allow in a total 14 unanswered runs over those two games, and that doesn't matter. They just roar back, dispose the Padres, win that game, win the series. Not really having too much else to point to. You got to believe that's Gabe Kapler just, having his team with the mindset of, next play, everyone move on. Things happen. This, last year, the previous manager, I don't think it was McCann's fault, but, they something bad would happen. They would play tight and it would snowball. And I say it's not McCann's fault, but maybe it is. But the reason I say it wasn't was because it was part of the previous regime too with Sandberg. I guess most of the staff was still intact, so maybe that's a good reason why. But Kapler and this culture that they kind of created is just next play, next man up, next game, next inning, next frame, next batter. Let the past stay in the past. And the Phillies, we're 5 months in the season now, almost five and a half, and we have too many examples now to ignore this as not being a thing. So, you hope that's the last bad loss of the season. Probably would be foolish to expect it to be, but, at least know that on the other side, the Phillies are going to come off the mat ready to keep playing. So with that said, Phillies try and win another series here in Arizona. Rubber game today, obviously, 3:40. As we mentioned, Velasquez and Pat Corbin. I'll be back Thursday morning with another episode of Phillies Today. Hopefully recapping a series win, a rubber game win. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.